Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zata Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, ESPN 97.5, proud partner for Houston Restaurant Weeks in 2024. It's time to raise some money for the Houston Food Bank. For you, it's simple. Just dine out, do good. Choose from over 400 restaurants to visit for lunch or dinner. Select from their pre-fixed menus, and a portion of the proceeds goes to the Houston Food Bank. I love supporting the Houston Food Bank. Plus, you're supporting local restaurants. It started August 1st. Time's running out. It'll end September 2nd. So still plenty of time, but you better get your act on it. Go to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com to find all the participating restaurants. So Astros lose today. They dropped 2 of 3. Kyle Tucker still nowhere near returning, it doesn't seem. Dana Brown said, well, I think it's possible we'll get him by the end of September. Today, he says, maybe early September. So the goalposts on Kyle Tucker have been pushed back, really, for really the entire injury. Whenever it first happened, let's wait a few days before we place him on the IL. Eventually led to a 60-day IL. Now it's late August. No, early September. We're seeing videos of Kyle Tucker hop around and crisscross, make you want to jump with Tucker. He still doesn't look fantastic, but closer maybe. Maybe we see him in a rehab game here soon, rehab assignment, maybe early September. But, I mean, it's August 21st. This is going to be 3+ months without Kyle Tucker in the lineup for a bone bruise on his shin, which the worst bone bruises do have this timeline. But I was thinking of this today because, you know, we talk about injury-prone players and do you want to play injury-prone players? And Kyle Tucker's never been injury-prone. He's never been that guy. He's always been somebody who plays a lot, is not a guy who's getting hurt each and every year. Like, you know, Jordan Alvarez can be a little bit injury-prone. Poncho Kyle Tucker's giving me vibes of Kawhi Leonard on the Spurs, just a feeling. So the question I have for you, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Has Kyle Tucker's injury and the amount of time that he has missed changed the way that you think about paying him once his club control is up after next season?
For me personally, no, because it's a fluke. It seems like it's just a fluke injury. You got to believe the information that they're giving you. Yeah, we've talked about it before that it's taken way too long, and it just seems like it's crazy that, you know, we were talking about him not, you know, joining the team on the road trip after they left Minute Maid Park in Anaheim, and that he would be playing in a couple days' time. And now here we are when we were talking about Dana Brown's, we hope to have him by September, and that was a couple weeks ago. We were like, come on, man, he's got to be back before September. Now it looks like he's going to be back in September. I don't think this affects his long-term status. I don't think it should. But I also think, and you and I have talked about this previously, I just don't think that there's a scenario that plays out where they're going to be willing to give him what he's going to be looking for if it's long-term big money deal. And that's something that I haven't wavered on either. I don't think that, you know, him going through all of this has had a negative impact or changed my belief, one, in him as a baseball player, or two, of what the Astros are going to do.
Yeah, I've always been team not pay the guy. So the fact that he's been hurt and he's going to miss 3+ months with the bone bruise, it doesn't change the way I feel about it, because I don't believe in those types of big contracts for baseball players, especially guys who are going to be in their 30s. I'm okay with doing it early in their career when they're in their early 20s and you're signing them for throughout their arbitration years and you're stealing away some of their early free agent years, like Jordan, like Bregman, like Altuve. But I mean, Kyle Kyle Tucker is going to be 6 years with the Astros, becoming a free agent in his late 20s. I'm not in favor of those deals. So if anything, it solidifies my opinion of not paying the guy. 713-780-3776, Astros Locker on Twitter. Only in a positive way, it shows how much the Astros are going to struggle at times if they lose Bregman and or Tucker. They absolutely need a plan. Okay, the Astros offense has actually been better since Kyle Tucker's been hurt, ironically. Like, I don't know, the math doesn't math there, but it's been the case. Probably because they've been better with runners in scoring position. Yordan got hot where he wasn't really hot when Tucker was going well. Yiner really started to turn it on. Bregman started to turn it on. So I think Kyle Tucker makes this offense even better. I think it's more of a coincidence than anything else that the Astros offense has been better without him. But at the same time, it's not like if Kyle Tucker leaves after next year, you're not going to be in the market for trying to add a bat. It's not like Kyle Tucker leaves and, you know, we're just going to sit here and twiddle our thumbs and not try to fill the 500 at bats that he's going to give you.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we've talked about this in the past. Now, are you going to get a Kyle Tucker? Probably not. But can you get a guy that can be, you know, better than average in right field, that can bridge the gap and come in and contribute, when you're forgetting the fact that you're going to have Yiner, you're going to have Yordan, you're going to have Altuve. You're going to have guys in this lineup that are fully capable of being, you know, better than average baseball players at the top of your lineup, to where this team is still going to be okay. Yeah, I get it that, you know, especially with a guy like Bregman, your heartstrings, the fact that he's done so much, the fact that it's slow of a start that he got off to, that he's found it now and gotten hot, is something that makes you think, well, we'd like to have him around. I still think that there's a short-term deal where he could possibly be around for another year or two. But overall, I think that even if they lose both those guys, I don't doubt the fact that they're going to replace them. They're going to find guys that can do similar things, and that the team is still going to be fully capable of competing for playoffs and more.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 4229. But is he faking it? I don't think there's any fake here. Mm-mm. I think it's a legitimate injury. I don't think he's milking it. I don't think he's faking it. I think it's the worst bone bruise we've seen in Houston Astro history. I don't think it helps that he's very, very skinny. Put a little meat on the bone, Kyle Tucker. Have a couple of cheeseburgers. Maybe you wouldn't be out 3 months with a bone bruise if you had a little bit of fat. We all like a little bit of fat. Add a little fat, Kyle Tucker. But no, I don't think he's faking it or milking
it. No, I think that, you know, when we were talking about it, and you had mentioned when Grenard late in the year, we never saw him. We didn't see what we've seen of Kyle Tucker to be able to say how legit and how sprained was the ankle. When you're looking at Kyle Tucker, one, it's a fluke accident. The two balls that he fouled off hit the exact same spot on his shin. So that's really rare to have happen to a Major League Baseball player. And then from the standpoint of what we've seen the videos, we've seen the posts, we've seen him in the outfield. We now saw him swinging in the cages. And when you look at him, you know something just isn't right. He's not moving like he has done that we have seen when he's been playing and when he's been 100%. He's not even close to it. And so when we talk about what we want to see from Kyle Tucker, at this point in the year, with the fact that somehow, some way, they've had the best record, I think, in the majors since he went out, if not like top three, the fact now is you just, whenever he comes back, you can't afford to have him slowly play his way back into being a part of this lineup. So hopefully when he does come back, he's as close to 100% as he can
be. Sure, but that's not the question right now. Has Kyle Tucker's injury changed the way you think about paying him? 713-780-3776. 6517, corner outfield is terrible. If anything, this ups Tucker's value. Okay, that's interesting. Like, I do think corner outfield is terrible. Like, the corner outfielders have been awful on this team. But if you know that Kyle Tucker's not going to be on the roster, you're going to upgrade the corner outfielders. I don't think this ups Tucker's value. I don't think you can miss 3 months with an injury and your value goes up. You're not going to go from being a $300 million man, miss 3 months, and then you're a $325 million man. Now, it probably stays the same. If Kyle Tucker plays every single, you know, 150 games next year, he avoids the injured list all year, his value stays the same. But you're not going to miss 3 months and improve your value because the rest of the team stinks.
No, and I think that the big thing there is if we were talking about the flip side, if this team just imploded with Kyle Tucker out of the lineup, now you have a bargaining chip in your pocket if you're his agent to say, see, when the team doesn't have him in the middle of the lineup, look at how this team scuffles and how bad they can be offensively. But the fact that they've been able to not only, you know, keep the ship afloat, but they've been very, very good, I don't think it has an impact either way. I think he's still Kyle Tucker. They know what he's capable of doing and what he did prior to the injury, but I don't think it changes the value either way.
Tyler and Conroe, this is an outlier. I think he's still the clubhouse war leader. Oh, okay. He's missed significant time. We should pay that man. So Tyler in Conroe doesn't care that he's missed 3+ months with a bone bruise. He still wants to pay the man after next season, which I think a majority of people probably want that, because a majority of people like to keep their star players with the team and don't really, you know, account for the, you know, regression of a player that approaches 30 and then surpasses 30. 8924, if he plays in the playoffs like he did last year, let him walk. So there's one gentleman or lady, I'm not sure, that is of the opinion that Kyle Tucker's postseason performances should come into play. What say you, Brian? Where do you stand on the Tucker injury, and does it change the way at all about your thoughts on extending him past next year?
No, it doesn't change it at all because of what you guys talked about, the freak injury or the freak nature of the injury. Like, if it was something where he's constantly having, you know, problems with his hamstrings or constantly having a problem with a bicep muscle, some sort of soft tissue issue that's never going away that we see creep up every single year, then I would start to go, okay, well, I definitely don't want to pay that guy into his 30s. Those things aren't going to get better. But it's a freak accident with the ball being fouled off the same spot on the shin twice. It's an injury to the bone, not to a soft tissue muscle. So it doesn't really affect my opinion on paying Kyle Tucker. I would still like to have him back, but I would definitely probably have a threshold lower than it would take to get him back. So if I'm GM, he's probably walking out the door, but it's not because of this injury.
But I also think, too, guys, the one thing that from a fan's perspective, you're probably right. I think they would ideally want both guys back. And the fact that the way the Bregman started, they thought there was hope. And the fact that, you know, Tucker is a guy that, you know, that they love and they know he's been an all-star recently, that they would think that that's a guy you got to have. But the track record should show you that they shouldn't think that way anymore. They should know the way this organization thinks. They don't go long-term big money. They haven't done it in the past. Nothing leads me to believe that they're going to change that for one, if not especially Kyle Tucker. So I think that it's just on the fans to start the realization that that's just not how they do business.
No, I mean, that's the secondary part of the conversation, too. Like, they're not a team that extends guys for a long, long time. Jordan's been the longest contract they've been willing to do, and that was 6 years, and that bought out some years of free agency before he was anywhere close to becoming a free agent. 6517, Dana will do nothing when Tucker walks and promote from Sugarland. We have seen this movie over and over again. Have we, though? Because, no. I mean, the Astros have signed two big free agents the last two offseasons. They signed the closer that got paid more money than anybody else in the relief market. And then 2 years ago, they signed the first baseman that made more than any other first baseman in the free agent market that year. If anything, the Astros have reversed the course on that the last 2 years. And if anything, it was actually to, like, the negative. It was bad. Hader's been really good. But Abreu, obviously, was the worst contract ever given by the franchise.
Yeah, but when you look at it too, and you're going to say that that's what Dana's shown you, well, the other thing that we've known is, especially with the signings you were talking about, that Jim Crane is not afraid to make the big splash, and Jim Crane kind of likes to make the big splash. And if Kyle Tucker walks, there's nothing that makes me believe that they're just going to stand pat and pull from Sugarland. I believe that they'll check the market, and based on guys that are out there, that they're going to find someone. And again, he's probably statistically not going to be Kyle Tucker, but I'm sure that they're going to find someone that's very capable of playing right field at a high level for the team.
Junior Broncos is saying, I don't know, Pena for Correa, McCormick and Myers for Springer. That was pre-Dana Brown. Like, that was not the current regime for the Astros. And, you know, how much does the front office, like, we don't want to point to Bagwell, point to Crane. But the last two off seasons haven't been the Pena for Correa, the McCormick and Myers for Springer. And I would also push back and say it wasn't McCormick and Myers for Springer. I would say it was Tucker for Springer, and Springer's no longer a center fielder. They'll also have to evaluate where they're at in two off seasons. Like, if Jacob Melton, they still love and is top 100 prospect in a couple of different publications, if they think that he's ready and he's going to take over and be the right fielder, well, then there's your answer. It just depends on how they view him in 2 years. I think that Kyle Tucker's chances of re-signing with the Astros are extremely low. And I don't think that the injury changes, like, the odds of them signing Kyle Tucker. I just think they're low no matter what.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, too, when you start thinking about the fact that you'll have money to play with if, you know, if, God forbid, you lose Fromber, you lose Bregman, you lose Tucker, you got all that money to play with. If you don't think that they're going to go out and spend that and try and replace those guys, then I'll call you crazy, because I think that they will. I think that when, you know, Jim Crane keeps saying that as long as he's here, the window's never closed, they're going to find that they will exhaust every possibility to make sure whoever walks out, they'll find someone capable of walking right into the position that they played to keep this window open. So I believe that they will find, again, they might not be exactly who those players are, but I think they'll find good players.
I don't think signing free agents, though, is what keeps the windows open. I feel like that could actually shut your window sooner.
Well, but I mean, look, they're already looking at younger players, too, and there's a couple in the pipeline that could, you know, end up being a factor by the time all is said and done when you start talking about these guys. But I still believe it's a combination, and I believe that if Tucker's the guy that walks, if Melton's not ready and they don't have anybody in the pipeline that looks like they're capable of being a corner outfielder for this team, I think they'll go into free agency and find someone that can do what they need to do.
I like them to get away from the let's just go sign the top free agent at the position of need and pay them this insane amount of money, and then it turns out to be a bad contract, and trade all the minor leaguers for, you know, whatever they need in the moment. I'd like them to get back to, all right, let's do keep the window open. Let's stop, you know, making all of these moves that are right now in the moment that could be costing us down the road, and then that window slammed shut abruptly. Logan, Kyle Tucker's a top five left-handed bat in baseball. You can't let that walk. Give him 8 years, $320 million. Go a little light on the first year until Abreu and Montero off the books, and then reimburse him on the back end. Still leaves money to add free agents later on. How many $320 million 8-year deals have worked in baseball history?
Not many.
Very, very little. King of Twitch, a five-tool lefty, is a unicorn. How long is he going to have those five tools? Right now, he probably only has three. I don't think that the range tool is there. I don't think the speed tool is there because of this bone bruise on his leg.
Yeah, look, and the return on investment, I think, just goes down every single year, and you mentioned it. If you're going over, they've shown a propensity to want to do 3 and 4 year deals. If he's looking for 7 or 8, and there's going to be teams that are willing to overpay him because they're going to be more desperate and they're going to be more free spending, the market will dictate the fact that they're going to push those numbers way out of any place where the Astros feel comfortable. And if you did bring him back, give him that kind of money, excuse me, the one thing you're going to have to deal with too is you got to believe Yordan and his camp's not going to be very happy with that either. I mean, he did choose to do the steal of a deal with the Astros for the longer term. But when you look at what his productivity, you got to believe that's a discussion they're going to want to have.
Yeah, I think you put way too much thought into that. Like, players signed a contract, especially in baseball. Like, baseball players don't go to their agents and be like, hey, let's tear up my contract and get a new one done. Like,
I don't believe that I put too much thought in that. I've seen, you know, that agents will have that conversation. And
when does that happen in baseball?
We talked about a Mulligetta kind of deal.
Mulligetta's not a baseball agent.
I understand that, Jeremy, but I'm just saying agents are going to pick up the phone and go,
when has it happened ever in baseball history?
I'm not going to sit there and pull for you right now and say that I can reference something that quickly, but I can tell you that agents will have that conversation.
I've never seen it happen in baseball history.
Well, you haven't seen it happen that they've done that? They've given more money to the player? Okay, that's one thing. But you can't tell me that's never happened where the agent starts talking to the team going, my guy's as good as that guy, and look, try to get more money.
I've never seen a baseball contract that was ripped up and signed a new one.
I didn't say ripped up and signed a new one, but I said the agents will have the conversation.
With who?
And the camp would, and you can see that the player and or the agent would be unhappy.
Okay. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We'll get your thoughts on this. Who do you think's more important to re-sign? Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker, and where Alex Bregman could go in the offseason? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First a moment on HRP, human resources and payroll. Cougar owned by my colleague, O'Cougs. Business owners, let HRP help you, whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, whatever. HRP can help in any or all of those areas. There's no boxes with HRP. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HRP completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HRP will find a way to help. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. The technology is great. You'll love that. You'll trust that. But you're going to fall in love with their service. service. Their service is elite, top shelf, guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to somebody that's a stranger who doesn't know you. They don't know your business needs. Every time you talk to HRP, they're going to be familiar with your business. So get HRP in your life. That way you can spend your time back into growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
713-780-ESPN. Bregman or Tucker? Which of the two would you rather have? 713-780-3776. Few texts. Didn't A-Rod get a new deal in the middle of the contract when he asked at the World Series 1 year? I don't know off the top of my head, but I think that's why – I think he wanted to, and that was part of the reason he was going to get traded to Boston. But then the Players Union didn't allow him, and then they ended up going with the Yankees, opted out of his deal, then signed a new one. I don't think it was a rip contract and a new one.
I think he had an opt-out after so many years, and I remember New York apparently told him, like, if you opt out, we're not re-signing you. But then the owner stepped in, they re-signed A-Rod anyway. Yeah. But they didn't.
It was a opt-out clause.
Right, it was an opt-out.
Which are normal now.
Right, it was an opt-out, not a tear-up, yeah.
But wasn't there a point, too, when he was traded to Boston and then it was vetoed or something?
It was vetoed because they wanted to rip up the contract and sign a new one, and they didn't let him. I'm pretty sure. I don't know that 100%. Like, I'm not 100% confident on that. Maybe, but I think that's what it had to do with.
Or maybe there was a clause within the contract.
No, I don't think it was that. I think it was a rip-up contract. We're going to do a new one. And the union's like, no, you're not. Huh. No, you're not. Because they wanted him to take less money. And the union's like, you're not taking less money. You kidding me? 0188, didn't Altuve get a contract torn up and was given this last extension that he's playing for right now? No. That new extension actually doesn't go into play until next year. He signed an extension, and he was supposed to be a free agent after the 2024 season. That's an extension that will trigger next season. So, no, that wasn't a torn-up thing. 713-780-3776. And also, like, from the team, you're not going to be like, okay, Jordan's making $16.5 million a year. We can't sign a guy for $17 million a year, even if it makes our team better, because we're going to hurt Jordan Alvarez's feelings. Like, that's a stupid place to operate from.
I would agree with you there, but I would say you're probably going to have to choose one or the other. Like, I mean, when you make the Kyle Tucker decision, I think you have to make that knowing if we sign Kyle Tucker for market value, let's say it's 8 years, $300 million, you're probably then out of the price range to be all, to also pay Jordan Alvarez.
Well, two things here. One, it wouldn't be because of hurt feelings. It'd be because you're not going to pay him the money.
I'm agreeing with you on hurt feelings. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you just the Astros' track record. If they pay one, they're not paying both.
Because of payroll restrictions, not because Jordan would be in his feels. Because if you gave Jordan exactly what he wanted, Jordan Alvarez would be like, great. I have great feelings now. I'm with you. Plus, Jordan signed through 28. Like, he signed through 2028 when he's going to be 31 years old.
Yeah, my whole feeling is the fact that he's already got a long-term deal, so it's not going to be that. And it wouldn't be over $500,000 or $1 million. But, look, it was a choice he made, but are they not going to be happy if the fact that Tucker gets, you know, $50 to $100 million more on the end of a contract with years and money that he didn't get? Yeah, I think that he would. I think that his agent would. But that's on them. I get that. I think the bigger thing is, to Brian, your point about, you know, on the one or the other, the bigger thing is if Yiner keeps playing the way he's playing, you're going to pay him. You're going to have to play. You're going to be in the same situations with these younger guys that you're going to pay you, Yiner, guys that, you know, you're going to have to make decisions, and you can't sign them all.
Yeah, and that might be my answer to the question, to your point. Like, Tucker or Bregman, none of the above. Give me Yiner. Like, I would sign Yiner before I'm giving Kyle Tucker or Bregman that extension because of age. Like, I'm not saying Yiner's a better player than Tucker or Bregman at this stage of their career. But because of age, I think I can get him much cheaper, buy out some of his prime years where he's going to be a free agent, as opposed to signing Bregman, who's already in his 30s. Kyle Tucker's soon to be in his 30s and will be more expensive than doing a Yiner thing. But if you had to pick between the two, which would you pick, Bregman or Tucker? Like, let's just assume fair market value.
But the length of contract, like, Bregman's going to go long term.
Like, what we would assume that would get on the open market.
Okay, I'm going to say Tucker of the two, just simply because of the Bregman being older and because it took longer to get him going this year. That I would take Tucker of the two and believe that you know, in the middle of the lineup, he's going to have the impact that I need for at least some of the years.
Yeah, I think Tucker's a better player, but Bregman is going to be cheaper and a shorter deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The term matters. Like, if you're going to tell me it's only a 2 or 3 year deal,
like, what would be fair value for the guy? Like, what you expect him to get? Like, we expect Bregman to get 27 to 30 million. Yeah, I don't even think Bregman gets 5. I think Bregman's like maximum year is 4.
Well, Tucker's probably double on length, though, right?
I would say 7 or 8. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's probably
double on length. I think Bregman's a max 4 year deal anywhere. Like maybe a club option for a fifth, or like a vesting option for a fifth. I have a hard time believing Alex Bregman's going to get 5 years.
Yeah, the only way I think that he pushes past in that ballpark,
he'll be 31 next year.
Yeah, if he gets multiple teams that start to get in a bidding war and there's a little bit more desperation. But even still, yeah, 5's a lot for a guy his age.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking. So let's throw out the number 28 per year, 4 years for Alex Bregman. We'll throw out 33. For Kyle Tucker.
Sounds
for
right.
7 or 8 years. So you get a pick on the term and that scale, Tucker or Bregman?
I think I'd lean Tucker.
Okay.
I think I'd lean Tucker because the fact that you got a good defensive outfielder, you've got a guy that in the middle of that lineup is a guy that, along with the other two guys that you have currently there, I think the impact is there. I think Bregman has turned it on, but I have concerns about, you know, longevity and his sustainability now at this point in his career. So I would go Tucker.
Yeah, I would probably go neither. Like, I don't like either one of those. Both of those make me cringe.
Come on, you gotta pick one.
Both of those make me cringe. I would probably go the shorter term deal. And Bregman also plays a more premium position. Kyle Tucker's a better baseball player than Alex Bregman. Do not twist my words. Kyle Tucker is better than Alex Bregman. But I hate long term deals. I would take the shorter term deal, lesser AAV, and Bregman plays a more premium position than Kyle Tucker does. It's harder to find good third baseman than it is corner outfielders. You can find a corner outfielder that can hit pretty good. Good luck finding that from a third baseman that plays an elite level of defense at the hot corner. Tucker's a better player. There's no doubt about it. But if I'm having to sign him to twice the length of the deal, more money, and Bregman's playing the more premium position, I have to go Bregman. I also think Bregman's more likely for all those reasons. I think Bregman's more likely to do the short-term deal than Tucker. I think Bregman probably I don't want to say that. I don't know if Bregman likes Houston more than Tucker likes Houston. Maybe they both like Houston equally. Bregman just to me makes more sense than Tucker does.
I was going to say, if you think from an Astros perspective, which of the two guys ends up ending up here, it would be Bregman simply because of the fact that I think the short-term is the key. I mean, I don't think that they're going to go over 4 or 5 years on a big-time deal, and the fact that if you could get Bregman at 3 or 4 at a reasonable number, I think that would mean something to them, and that they would be more likely to do that.
King of Twitch says, keep letting your stars walk, and you have an issue getting free agents to sign here. Two things there. They've let Correa walk. They've let Cole walk. They let Verlander walk. They let Springer walk. I'm probably missing a couple of guys, and they still signed the top player at the position in each of the last 2 years. Secondly, do you want to be a team that's built on big free agent acquisitions? I don't. I think it's bad business.
Yeah,
I think
it's not sustainable. A model you can sustain.
Yeah, so one, you're wrong. Two, that's a bad way to build a baseball team.
Well, and you look at what Cashman's doing, and now he's trying to talk his way out of it, but that's what he's consistently done. He's just spent and spent and spent and spent, and most of them, the return on investment isn't even close.
Especially some of the starting pitchers they've signed.
Oh, yeah. But even still, I mean, and the one, even the trade of taking on Stanton and taking on that monster deal, and he's hardly played even half a season since he's been in New York. He's been abysmal at being able to at least be available, let alone put up numbers. But, yeah, they just keep spending. It doesn't seem to work out for them. And that's really not the recipe for long-term success.
And I think that's kind of why I would lean Bregman. Not only is he the shorter-term deal, but if you look at, okay, if we let one of these walk, what are we more likely to be able to replace from within and not have to go out and spend big in free agency? I mean, you look at the corner outfield spots, Jacob Melton's already in AAA. You would expect him to be ready by the time Tucker hits the free agent market, whereas third base, I know they've called up a couple guys like Wickham and DeCenzo that may be able to play third base, but I'm much more in love with the idea of a top 100 prospect than Jacob Melton being able to replace a star leaving than the unknown of what they have at third base.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, like third baseman in the system. DeCenzo, you're hoping that he ends up being the heir apparent eventually. But, yeah, there's the other problem that you have, too, though, in trying to do what Jeremy was talking about for sustainability and not just go into free agency is their farm system's so depleted, you don't have as much to choose from as a lot of these other teams. But that's where the draft becomes so much more important with a guy like Dana, where you've got to start replenishing at a certain point.
Yeah, I haven't loved DeZinzo either. Junior no. Broncos, I want Matthews. I'm intrigued with what Matthews does. He does look like a promising prospect. All right, 713-780-3776. Tucker or Bregman? And let's get to these places where they're predicting Bregman could end up. Where are his potential fits? And let's look a little bit at the financial obligations, too. Like, we've talked about this next year with the Astros and where they're at financially. Well, let's look at it. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, look, before we go to the break, you know college football's right around the corner, pro football as well, and betting on football with MyBookie, it's back. It's here for you. They're going to take care of you as they always do, and it's the place you need to go when you want to put money down on all kinds of sports, starting with college and pro football. Who's going to win the NCAA championship this year? Last year, if you bet on Michigan on MyBookie, you'd have cashed in 10 times your bet. Who's it going to be this year? Ohio State, Texas, you name it, Georgia. If you want to bet on that team or your team, then I encourage you to go to mybookie.ag, because it's the same way with the NFL. If you want to pick who's going to win at the end of the year or bet on your favorite team like the Texans, it's not crazy, and it could pay off in a big way. You can do all that and more at mybookie.ag. MyBookie, an awesome sports book and casino platform. It puts the betting in your hands, and you can use your phone, your laptop, your tablet. Easy and fun. You can do it in your pajamas or your boxer shorts. You don't have to fly to Vegas or drive to Louisiana. You can have fun this football season, and MyBookie is the best place to do it. It's an online sports booking community complete with live dealers standing by for casino games when there isn't games to bet on, or you just don't feel like betting on games, but you want to get some casino games going. The live dealers are standing by, the poker, the blackjack right there at your fingertips, and you're taken care of. Go to mybookie.ag and always use our promo code BET975, where you can always get that promo code bonus. You know how it works. You put money into your account, you use our promo code, instantly there's more money in your account, which means more games you can bet on and more chances you can win. As I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Alex Bregman, after the game, was asked about when he could play third base again, because you saw him taking ground balls at third base yesterday, but was not throwing them. He was just kind of tossing the baseballs in a bucket after he fielded a couple of grounders. He was asked when he might play third base. Bregman said it is going to be a fluid situation for the rest of the season. There's still swelling in his elbow. Some gremlins in there are causing it, he said.
It's not good.
No, it's not. Sounds like he's playing through something. Maybe, I mean, I'm not going to speculate. But if he has to play, I mean, if he has to DH, your best nine's not.
No.
Your best offensive nine's not there. Because if Bregman's taking DH at-bats, that's not your best nine. Like, you want to get Yordan in there. You want to get Yiner in there. And then that means that Shea Whitcomb has to play almost every single day over some of those guys that we just mentioned.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, you like the platoon option with Singleton if he's facing a righty, because he's been pretty decent to where you get another good bat in the lineup in that situation. But, yeah, you're not ideally going to have the best bats in your lineup ever if the fact he's not going to play first base.
No.
So that kind of screws you a little bit in terms of your flexibility with DH.
Yeah, that's rough there. They had some potential fits of where Bregman could go in free agency, and they listed three clubs. One of them were the Astros, which, cool, that's great. I have no problem with Bregman back with the Astros on a reasonable contract. The other fits, Arizona, we've heard that, yep. Like close to his home in New Mexico, has a house there, blah, 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 blah. The last fit were the Mariners. Ooh. This is one that I would not be happy with. I'm okay if Alex Bregman leaves the Astros. If Alex Bregman left the Astros for the Mariners, I would not like that much.
No, you shouldn't, and no Astros fan should. And this goes back to all the trades that you see when there are big-name loved players throughout sports. The last thing you want to do, and most general managers are aware of, you don't want them to be in the same division if you're in baseball. You don't want them to be in the same division if you're in football, and you'd like to try and keep them out of the same conference if you can, because you don't want them to come back and bite you. And you've seen it over the years, and with my personal experiences, when they traded Favre, they didn't want him to be in the NFC. They wanted him to be with the Jets because they didn't want to see him, and he wanted to be with a team where he could get revenge. on that team that basically let him go. You wouldn't want to see a guy that would be right there battling with you to win the division every single year and know that now he's playing for them, and especially if he plays well.
Yeah, that would be rough. All right, 713-780-3776. 7830, sign both. Crane ain't poor. Every team in Major League Baseball prints money. They could all go for it if they had more will and less greed. I mean, Crane's in the luxury tax. Like, I'm not a big fan of the Crane should spend more. He's in the luxury tax. He's one of the few teams in baseball, one of the few owners in baseball that are in the luxury tax. So he's spending more than just about every owner in Major League Baseball. And it's also about financial, like, allocation. If you're going to spend $250 million, what's the best way to spend the $250 million? If your wife gave you a $100 allowance, what's the best way to spend the $100 for that particular day? Hopefully it's a day. So it's about the financial allocation. It's not that Crane is cheap. It's not that Crane is poor. It's, hey, this is our budget for the year. What's the best way to get the best team with this amount of money? And if you're paying a guy $30 million and he's giving you a $15 million performance, that's how you lose in sports.
Yeah, the financial responsibility of knowing, like we talked about too, the fact is you're going to, the same people are going to say, well, then you got to pay Yiner when his contract comes up and Pena when his contract comes up. And you want to keep everybody, but the realistic approach to all of this is the fact that you have to be more savvy, and there's going to be some tough decisions to be made because you can't keep everybody, or you're going to be way over the luxury tax, and it's going to be where a lot of the time, and we've seen this with a lot of the guys that walked out of the door with the Astros, it was tough to watch them go, but from a return on investment perspective, they haven't been nearly the player they were when they were here in Houston, because a lot of them were in their prime when they were here.
Yeah. You're paying them for past performance as opposed to what they're going to be. I think, Brian, I'm asking a great question that I'm going to steal. Do we still think that Bregman slept on his elbow wrong?
He keeps saying it.
It's a fluid situation that's going to have a problem all year long. No, I don't think that he slept on it wrong.
And I think you hit it there. It's a fluid, like there's fluid buildup, like that doesn't come from sleeping on it wrong. There's definitely something else.
I mean, I hope it's not torn.
He hopes it's not either, especially when we start talking about him hitting the free agent market and stuff like that. Can you imagine what would derail everything if he'd be out? Because that would be a significant amount of time.
Yeah, and they would also be a lie because they said he had MRI done. Like they said they had MRI done and that nothing was structurally wrong, yet him throwing is a fluid situation and he might not be able to play third base. Something's fishy with the Astros again.
Yeah, he's definitely. Look, to his credit, at least he is talking, so you're getting something from him. But at the end of the day, I'm curious as to how realistic everything turns out to be, because if he can't, if it's literally a fluid situation, you don't know if you can expect him to play third base the rest of the year. That seems to be a lot more substantial than what they're leading on.
Yeah, but because now Bregman has to take DH at bats. I mean, Jordan cannot. It means Yiner cannot, which makes it a little bit more difficult to get Yiner, Caratini, and Singleton in the lineup against right-handed pitching, which they all hit righties well. So that would be problematic. That is not good news. 60-30, he's not cheap. Crane, he's just dumb. He pays has-beens top dollar and trades away top prospects for has-beens. I don't think that takes him terribly wrong. I think there is some accuracy there. This guy, 8089, Breggs, ends up in Colorado. He's from New Mexico. Colorado's big free agent acquisitions have not turned out good, a la Chris Bryant. So I don't know how willing they would be to pay a guy top dollar whenever Chris Bryant's still collecting tons of money and not even playing.
And even Nolan Arenado was a guy that they gave big money to, and then they unloaded him to St. Louis a couple years later.
Yeah, 7560. Jordan is a big boy, almost like Frank Thomas. If they keep him at first, sounds stupid, but he is protecting the knees. Yeah, I don't know if they just don't like Jordan there. Jordan played a little bit of first base in the minors. I think they might have given up on that because they didn't like what they saw with him there. I think he should just be the permanent DH. 2851, let them both walk. That's kind of where I'm at.
I think from a defensive perspective, too, with Yiner, you know that from the reflexes and everything he's got to do with being behind the plate as a catcher, that it translates to being able to block the baseballs and the reflexes to get the balls when you have to dig them out. I think Jordan doesn't seem to be a guy that has those same kind of quick reflexes. He's got a good arm, but I don't think from a fielding perspective that I would trust him to be a guy that can scoop stuff out and play defense.
Yeah, I think if he was capable, they would do that. 7560, Bregman has more to lose than leaving than Tucker. Look at the playoff games with Bregman and Altuve combo. Yes, the Astros will not always be in the playoffs, but you have to think about Bregman. loss, if Bregman loses more than just money, but I mean, has he won enough though where he doesn't care about that? Like, he has all the legacy stuff. Bregman already has he has a ring. He's got two rings. He has the legacy. Like, now do you want the legacy after you already had the legacy, or do you want riches?
Well,
most players would choose riches.
And think about this too, Jeremy, the other factor that factors into that, when do guys normally want to get the riches? After they've won a ring, because that's part of their legacy to put on their resume. Everybody wants to win at least one. When you've won, the next thing you want to do is make sure you cash in on the last big contract that you have available to you. And with two World Series in your back pocket, there's plenty of players that said, now it's my time to go get my money.
And not that Bregman is poor, obviously, by any means, but he has probably not optimized his earnings in his career. He signed that team-friendly-ish contract that bought out some of his free agent years, which is going to cost him entering free agency until he's in his 30s. So I could definitely – I mean, I always see players chasing the money. Like, mm-hmm. If a player chases the money, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It's their job. 7560 long-term contract should be banned. Good luck getting the players' union to do that. 2422, Tampa Bay will try to sign Tucker to go along with their new stadium since he's from there. Yeah, they're getting a new stadium, but I don't see Tampa Bay straying away from what has kept them successful.
Yeah, that's not their business model. That's not what they do. When they're in these same situations as the Astros have been in, they bail way before the Astros would even be considering bailing.
50-44, how about trading Tucker to get something in return for the future? I'm down for that. I'm a fan of that. I like that strategy.
And not only that, but it could possibly help you with what the other half of this we were talking about, to rebuild your farm system. I mean, when you talk about Tampa Bay, that's the one thing that they do. They did it again at the deadline. They unloaded a lot of their major league roster, and what did they do? They got multiple prospects from the trades that they made to just restock yet again and reload their farm system.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Caleb Williams, he's either going to be a cold-blooded killer or he's going to be a bust. And there is zero in between. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, I'm here to tell you guys about Allstate Siding and Windows, and I encourage you to go to the website allstatesidingandwindows.com right now, because Allstate Siding and Windows is the best at what they talk about and what's in their name, and that's siding and windows. They also do front doors. They do so much more. But the fact is, they've been in business for almost 50 years, and in all the time that they're in business, they take care of Houstonians, and that is a main goal of theirs. They do a lot of things with discounts. They do a lot of things with deals. They take care of, you know, military and first responders. But the main thing is, they're experts at what they do, and they're going to tell you the right way to do it and the right product to use. Your home is probably your biggest investment for most of us. They want to make sure that you protect it. It's that hard outer shell of protection that you have to have when we're talking about right in the middle of hurricane season right now, to the fact that when we're not in hurricane season, what are we talking about? Well, it's the excruciating heat of 100-degree temperatures like we're dealing with now, or those times in the wintertime when it gets super cold. You want windows and siding because they are going to keep the cold in the air conditioning times. They are going to keep the heat in the winter times, and they are going to give you the ultimate protection on the outer shell of your house at all times. That's why it's big. And the big thing for you is, they offer you a free no obligation inspection where they can come out and they can give you an estimate on what they can do. They can tell you about all their products. They can look at your house and say, these would be the ideal windows for you. This would be the ideal siding. All you got to do is call them, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. They will come to your door. They will answer your questions. They will walk you through what they think needs to be done and what products that you should use, and then they would leave it all in your hands. AllstateSidingAndWindows.com also gives you that opportunity to see all the products and services that they offer. But right now, 30% off of windows, $2,500 off a complete siding job. Those free estimates are the key. Call them today, 832-204-1936, or check them out online, AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
Okay. Caleb Williams is either going to be a cold-blooded killer or he's going to be a bust. And there's no middle. There's no middle. He's going to be one or the other. It's binary. He's either A, a cold-blooded killer, or he's B for bust. Caleb Williams yesterday, Hard Knocks aired, and Caleb Williams, he was being asked by his quarterback coach, Kerry Joseph, about nerves and pressure, and here was this psycho's answer.
What your nervous level, nervous energy gets to, like, scale of 1 to 10?
Zero. I don't get nervous. Not since my first game of high school versus Gilman. I fumbled 2 snaps. Other than that, and I came back and threw like out and up down the sideline. Other than that, play ball.
He doesn't get nervous. Who doesn't get nervous? All these athletes for generations, like, yeah, we get nervous. It shows that you care, right?
Yeah.
So Caleb Williams, because he doesn't get nervous, he doesn't get, I guess you can factor in, he might be lying, but if he actually does not get nervous, he's either going to be the greatest quarterback of all time or he's going to be the next quarterback bust in the NFL. Nerves. You got to have nerves.
I think he's full of it. I just think that you go and talk to and you look, go back and reference all the interviews with all some of, even the greatest of all time will tell you that they get the butterflies, that they get the nerves, and that a lot of guys used to throw up before big games, no matter how good they were, because of the fact that it means something. You can't tell me that you're going to take the first game as a starting quarterback in the NFL and you're not going to feel nerves. I don't believe that.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, there is the potential factor that he's probably lying here. But maybe. if it is indeed true that he does not feel pressure, he does not feel nerves, he either doesn't care about football and he's going to be a bust, or he is a unicorn, once in a generational player that will be feeding families forever.
Well, I was going to say the other thing, though, that he has to do as part of all of this is maybe he doesn't feel nervous, but he's still got to play like to the highest level of being able to make all the passes and do all the things that he's got to do. And I still, that remains to be seen for me to see what he can do on the football field as it translates to the NFL.
You're a hater because you're a Packer fan, aren't you?
Maybe. There might be something to that, too. But
at
the same time,
Caleb Williams or Jordan Love? Who are you taking?
Ooh. Nah, see, now that's...
Put your hate to the test.
I'll say Jordan Love simply because of the fact that
I finally found the tip.
Yeah, I didn't like Caleb Williams at SC yelling at his coaches and some of the stuff he did. But, you know, everybody says he's slam dunk going to be a great one. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm a – who knows? Like, you never know with rookies, but it's just weird. The dude doesn't feel pressure.
I honestly, because I watched Hard Knocks, that episode of Hard Knocks this morning, when he said it, reading his body language and the expression on his face.
You buying it?
Yeah, I'm buying that he believes it. Now, we'll see what happens when the week one happens. Maybe that changes for him. He's stepping into an NFL stadium for, you know, a real game for the first time. Maybe that changes for him. But when he said it, it didn't come off as a lie to me.
Yeah, I feel like pressure's a good thing, though.
I feel like it's a good thing.
I'm
with you. But if I had to pick one or the other, I don't think he's going to bust. I could see him being in the middle, but if I have to pick bust or, like, elite, I'm going to pick elite. I don't see him as being a bust.
I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be good as a rookie. I think he's going to have a really good year as a rookie.
He's got so many weapons.
He does.
He does. I just, again, call me a hater. I don't think he may be good for his career. I think what we saw of CJ is such a rarity that, you know, when everybody's saying that he could do the same kind of things, I'm just going to tell you that I don't believe that.
But we've seen rookie quarterbacks. I mean, I feel like the idea that rookie quarterbacks can't be good year one, I mean, definition year one, they're rookies, but it's kind of an old thing because we saw Justin Herbert come in right away, set like the rookie touchdown record. Baker Mayfield has set it just like 2 years before that. We're starting to see rookie quarterbacks come in and make a bigger impact early on.
It might be. Now, I think that, like, the math is probably on Blinker's side here, that rookie quarterbacks, you know, are going to struggle more than they're going to be hits. I mean, even in those specific cases, you had other first-round rookies who didn't perform at that level. But where Caleb Williams has a huge advantage is that they might have surrounded him with the best supporting cast that a rookie's had in the last
decade. I can't think of a better
decade.
One. You're right.
Decade. Now, the Texan supporting cast looked good in hindsight. But going into the year, Nico Collins, who had never done anything, and Tank Dell, who was a third rounder. Like, even the Texans last year, who they did have a good supporting cast, but they didn't going into the year. The Bears have DJ Moore, who's one of the more underrated receivers in all of the NFL. They have Keenan Allen, who's been one of the more solid, productive receivers in the NFL for the last 7 years. And then, oh yeah, they drafted another receiver in the top 10. Like,
they got Komet. They've got good running backs. They've bolstered their offensive line. Look, they have set him up with every possible player to give him a chance to succeed. At the end of the day, though, with reads and defenses and all the things that he's going to see and the things that he's going to go through, I'm just curious to see what level he plays at his first year.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some ugly moments because he seems to be a quarterback.
He doesn't feel pressure.
But he seems to be a quarterback, and I hesitate to relate him to Deshaun because Deshaun has a lot of other things that come with that. But Deshaun sometimes passed on the easy play to make the more fantastic, and I see that in Caleb sometimes where he seems to pass on the easy play in favor of rolling out and throwing against his body. So he's going to have some of that taken out of him over his rookie year, but I think he's going to be really good.
0979, he's a Heisman Trophy winner, first overall pick. Y'all just mad another black quarterback. Two-thirds of us think Caleb Williams is going to be great. There's only one of us that's hating on Caleb Williams. The two-thirds of us are high on Caleb Williams, 0979.
Okay.
So it's not because he's black, it's because he's a bear.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with the color of his skin. Yeah.
1711.
Screw them.
Yeah, but 0979. Two-thirds of us are high on Caleb Williams. So don't say y'all. 1711, he didn't win in college, so why pressure to win now? Nice burn. 3928, do y'all think Deion was nervous in his first game? I think that every player has been nervous in his first game. Yeah. Every player, in NFL especially.
I completely agree with that. And some of the best have had issues where they had to go to the locker room before the game and throw up. And some of them think that it's not that they're not ready to play if they don't throw up and or they don't feel the butterflies. I think LeBron has talked about the butterflies a lot, and even with the Olympic experience. It's a natural thing that happens when there is a big, big, big game to be played. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's kind of unheard of to me that someone doesn't feel any nerves at all.
I have to admit, I never felt nerves before a game, but I was a one-tool player. Did you puke before games, Blankers?
I have.
Ooh.
I have. But I have reflux, too, so there's a lot of things that go into that sometimes. But, yeah, there's definitely been games.
You had reflux as a college student?
I have had reflux my whole life.
That's crazy. 6856, Key from L.A., he might not get nervous, but we definitely know he's a crier. Yeah. 7283, Caleb is the next Chicago bust. Williams is a bust. I've seen a lot of Bear fans say that he's already the greatest Chicago Bear quarterback of all time.
It's not a tall list.
It's not outrageous.
It's not a tall list.
Jay Cutler?
Probably.
Yeah, they've never had a quarterback in their history throw for 4,000 yards. It's not a tall list.
I mean, maybe they go the team win success, so Jim McMahon is probably on the short list.
Yeah.
I bet you Sexy Rexy's on the short list.
I think Jay Cutler statistically is the best quarterback in Bears history, and I think you're right, McMahon winning the Super Bowl would be a guy that they have right up there at the top.
0315, once he gets popped by a T.J. Watt, he'll get nervous. Yeah, maybe the next time he plays T.J. Watt, I would agree. I'm pretty heavy on Caleb Williams. I have a good amount of Caleb Williams shares. Good amount of Caleb Williams shares.
I don't mind it. I assume he wasn't your first quarterback taken, though.
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Okay.
You know, you got to let the draft board speak to you.
Sure.
So just, you know, sometimes. He's been drafted pretty high, though, Caleb Williams, because of the pieces around him.
I'm higher on him in fantasy than I am his targets, because there's just a rookie's only going to be able to get so many guys enough numbers to produce. I mean,
DJ Moore, pretty solid. They're saying they play a lot of 12 personnel too, which isn't great for their third receiver.
No, I don't like that at all.
Who do you think's going to have a bigger year, Caleb Williams or Jalen Daniels?
Ooh,
Jalen Daniels officially named a starter, I think, yesterday. Like, okay,
I think Caleb just because he's got better weapons.
Yeah. I would lean Caleb, too.
If we're talking fantasy, though, I would take Jaden.
I still lean Caleb.
Well, he's going to run.
The running, and it's not like he has nothing in wide receiver. Terry McLaurin is a very underrated wide receiver. So it's not like they have nothing in Washington, but when you factor that plus the running, because I think he's going to run for like 600-700 yards, mm-hmm. I would take Jaden.
Eric the driver, BS, he doesn't feel nervous. I think he'll be a solid QB, but ain't no way he doesn't feel it. That's kind of where I'm at. Honey Glazed Branham, hey, you don't know how much confidence painting your gives you. How do you know I don't know that, huh?
And maybe how does he know that it gives you confidence?
I think he's saying he paints his nails.
I was gonna say, then yeah, admit it.
I think he did.
Okay.
I think he did do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's becoming the in thing now. When you look around sports, I mean, I think everybody's painting their nails. A lot of guys are painting their nails.
0979, Wisconsin Cutler, the biggest bust in Bears history. Stop the cap, says 0979. He did it with emojis, too. That was impressive. All right, what could the Texans be saving their cap money for? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.